You are listening to a Wyatt Phosphorus Pictures podcast.
Broadcasting under the night sky from the edge of an undisclosed jungle on the Gulf of Mexico, I'm Christopher Garitano, your voice in the night. For the next hour, allow me to be your guide into the bizarre unknown, the fantastic macabre, and together we'll journey to that borderland between fiction and reality, a place beyond all rational explanation. We are now off to the witch. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another Off to the Witch newsletter. For those of you new to Off to the Witch, the newsletter episodes are an alternate version of the show where it's just me and I usually talk about a topic. I give you updates on White Phosphorus Pictures and what I'm doing behind the scenes, and you hear my opinion more so than when I have a guest because it stays on topic for the guest and the theme. And the newsletter was a bit of a less complicated way to offer something on the weeks that I needed to attend to these other projects. However, the workload is getting pretty intense at the moment, and for me to give my best quality to both Off to the Witch and to these other projects, I'm going to have to actually have an off week. So next week, we won't have a show at all. The following week, there'll be a show with a guest, and then the week after that, we'll be off, and then a newsletter on the following week. So every other week now is going to be an off week of the show. And then the following week would either be the newsletter or the main show. It's going to have to be like this just for a little while. I'm working on a major project for television, and I'm also finishing the very first episode of my new investigative series, docuseries, Off to the Witch Presents. You know, the idea of love, acceptance, forgiveness, understanding are all thrown out the window when you have nothing but a flock of sheep that answer to your beck and call and then just join in on the mindless banter when someone is meant to be destroyed. And this has happened throughout history. A couple of the stories have been portrayed dramatically. Obviously, Arthur Miller's The Crucible being one of them. But another one was The Devils of Loudun by Aldous Huxley. And that was published in 1952, originally. And it's a true story about religious fanaticism and really centers around a priest named Urbain Grandier. He was burned at the stake for being a heretic. And he never once confessed to being a witch. Now, the odd thing about this, and it seems to be the common denominator in a lot of these true accounts, is that it's not the devil that possessed Urbain Grandier eventually. It's jealousy. Grandier was a bit promiscuous, and he was, if you can imagine, a priest being a rock star at the time in his city. That's who he was. Everybody loved him. All the women were fawning over him. So He caused some controversy on that level. And what ended up happening is there was a nun who was very covetous, who actually wanted to get him closer to her. He also had a relationship with several different women. And where this took a turn and ended up in Grandier's execution is that the fanaticism of the day believed that if someone were to call Grandier out as this devil-possessed witch, and they told enough tales, he would be executed out of an act of jealousy. This is how this started, believe it or not. This historical event happened out of romantic jealousy. And unfortunately, Grandier was tortured, his tongue was cut out, and he was burned at the stake, burned alive, for being a witch. He would not confess to the heresy. They would have killed him anyway, even if he confessed to being a witch, but he refused. It was an effort of both church and state to get Grandier out of office, essentially, because he was the ruler of Loudun and they wanted to take it over. So this combined effort of him, of these jealous, promiscuous relationships and the government itself taking advantage at the time Grandier was murdered. There was an incredible film, one of the greatest films ever made, that suffers from oppression itself right now. Warner Brothers will not release the film officially in the United States uncut. The Criterion Collection, which is a prominent, Blu-ray and DVD releasing company, movie company that acquires the rights to films and restores them, has been trying to get The Devils for quite some time. Ken Russell directed this film. He directed Altered States and a multitude of other films. And this is his masterpiece. Before Russell died, he was taking it around the world, and it caused such controversy and has such a stigma around it because of some of the portrayals, but an artist's portrayal of what was truly happening. There was lust in the hearts of the nun that really helped cause a lot of this. There was anger and jealousy in the hearts of these people that claimed they were very religious people. And then, of course, all the radical priests that came in to torture Grandier in the end and kill him were all liars. This wasn't in the name of God. This was in the name of power. This was in the name of revenge. This was in the name of jealousy. And it's unfortunate that people throughout history have been murdered because of this type of either neighborly, even arguments between lovers, And the weird thing is, I keep seeing a lot of this kind of happening today. If you look around you, neighbors are fighting, bickering, at least on the internet. I mean, I can tune the internet out. To me, it doesn't exist, but unfortunately, it's a very powerful, to me, I can easily tune out the internet. Look, the reality is I live a life outside of the internet. I never post about the things I do every day. I have a life. I have relationships. I have people that are close to me. I have family, but I'm not constantly posting that online. It's not my desire to sit and record it and show it to everyone constantly for validation. I just live it. And that's more important to me than to constantly show it. I make movies, I make shows. It's both my passion and my living. And that is what I post up online. And every now and then I'll say hello, tell you what I'm up to. But outside of that, I think it's important to live your life because what ends up happening is you start being caught up in communities that ultimately end up to be very dangerous because it's no longer your way of thinking, it's groupthink. And groupthink is one of the most dangerous things that can happen. Jealousy, envy, all 10 commandments being broken on a daily basis by people who hold the 10 commandments as their credo. And in the case of the Devils of Loudun, that was 100% hypocrisy, all 10 commandments being broken all at once. All of it happening. It shows the disarray. Now, I want to preface the rest of what I'm about to say by saying I'm a very spiritual person. I don't believe in harboring hate and dark blackness in your heart. And probably the worst thing that you could do is dehumanize another human being. The most disgusting thing you could possibly do is either dehumanize a whole culture of human beings or dehumanize another human being without cause. For instance, let's say someone like the Gainesville Ripper or Richard Ramirez or Jeffrey Dahmer. These are very complicated situations, but you could argue that if there were demons, these are the people they inhabit. But in the terms of Grandier and other people I'm going to mention, like John Proctor and the Salem Witch Trials, this was the inverse, that there are other people that are harboring demons that are calling out these men or women in a lot of these cases as witches, as demons, when they've done nothing to meet up to that moniker. They've done nothing to earn that badge of evil. And I think it's so important that now more than ever, that you use discretion, that you don't just listen to someone when they're calling someone out. I would be very suspect of anybody that goes publicly or screams and yells about another person or writes a book about a person for profit. that it's really important that you scrutinize these things, because just the act of profiting off of a story is suspect in that case. You know, I'm writing a book of fiction right now. I made the movie Montauk Chronicles, and I'm a documentary movie maker. And never once did I point the finger at any of the men I interviewed, or did I judge anybody, or did I try to manipulate someone's world with anything I've put out outside of just showing you information the best I can and trying to entertain you in the process, you know, because if it was just about information, I'd go on YouTube or something and talk for 20 hours. I don't do that. And I think it's really important that everything you do is done with respect to the subject matter and the material. It should never be to motivate other people, especially motivate other people for hate or taking sides or injustice. And in the case of these witch trials, that's exactly what happened. I mean, you can do your research on the case of the Devils of Loudun, and you can also do your research on many of the witch trials. It seems to be the common denominator are neighborly disputes, romantic disputes, jealousy, or abuse of power in terms of the merging of church and state. You know, because of the case of people being executed as witches, they're doing it in the name of religion. But what I think a lot of these people forget is that Christ himself was put to death in the eyes of the people that did it for being a heretic. And how unchristlike it is to insist on someone's execution, that you lie and you say that they're of the devil or they're demons, when you have no right to say it. Now, these days, a lot of people aren't executed, at least in the Western world, for heresy. However, in a way they are, because what ends up happening is, you know, what people are trying to do now is ostracize people, is isolate them, to make outrageous claims about their lives and say things they didn't do, and then go to the most ridiculous, the most disgusting places to dehumanize them, to literally say they're of the devil or they're androids. I experienced something like this some years ago. I had finished Montauk Chronicles, and then I made the Dark Files with History Channel. And I was contacted by someone who became obsessed. I never met this person. They said they were writing a book, then later claimed that I was a clone. They got it in their head that I was a clone and that they were going to find me, stab me in the stomach, and show everyone my mechanisms because I was an android clone. It's terrifying. It kept me away from conventions for a very long time because I don't want to take a chance and just have some woman walk out of nowhere and stab me because she got convinced because of the same type of witch hunt situation, whereas people are calling out in the past, like in terms of the Devils of Loudun or the Salem witch trials, that people were, you know, there were neighbors, jealous neighbors or jealous romantic situations where people were calling out other people as demons, as witches. Well, today it could be you're an android, you're a clone. Listen to me right now. Everyone who's listening, I believe in the possibilities of all of these things, okay? And I can tell you, I actually do believe that the devil was in town in Salem and in Loudun when those things happened, but it's not the way you think. And so in terms of people being clones and androids, I can guarantee that not everybody in Hollywood is an android or a clone. I just don't buy it. These are human beings. Human beings are fallible. They're offered money. They're offered a whole bunch of things from the elite situation. Obviously, I believe that there were government programs. Obviously, I believe that there are psychological operations to this day. But when you go off the rails and you just start accusing every person who's in a movie or on television of being a clone, it's dangerous. It's the same thing that happened in Loudun, and it's the same thing that happened in the Salem witch trials. John Proctor was also promiscuous. He was reluctant that he had an affair with Abigail Williams, talking about the Salem witch trials here. And Abigail Williams was the antagonizer in all of it. She was angry that Proctor didn't want to see her again. He decided he wasn't going to, and he wanted to stay with his wife. And so Abigail Williams fired up this whole thing about witchcraft. Abigail Williams was one of the main components in those Salem witch trials in 1692. There were 200 people that were accused, and 19 were killed by hanging. People were horribly tortured, and John Proctor was essentially murdered by this whole mania because of Abigail Williams' jealousy, because she couldn't handle the fact that Proctor didn't want to go back with her. I mean, you could do your own research on the situation. If you break it down to the bare bones essentials, that entire thing, that entire historical event happened out of jealousy. Jealousy. The lies were told, they took advantage of the zeitgeist, and had John Proctor destroyed. Well, I think a lot of that kind of thing is happening today in cancel culture. It's the same type of thing that was happening in Salem. It's the same type of mind virus. And I guess what I would lend to everybody is to please don't participate in any of this. You can't. You can't allow this to happen. You have to question. If people are screaming and yelling about a person, yeah, there's some real sinister people out there that deserve to go to prison. I mean, how could we have foreseen Bill Cosby doing what he did? You know, we grew up with him. He was, you know, America's dad. And for it to turn out the way it did, where you have, I don't know, umpteenth accusers saying that he drugged and raped them. I mean, this isn't a couple of friends that got together and tried to take down Bill Cosby. This is a whole fleet of people from all different walks of life, all from different directions. And it's insane that Bill Cosby is free. He's not in jail. But what I did see was a lot of people lose their careers over some shady accusations. I'm not exactly sure, and I won't sit here and come to the defense of people that I'm not sure if they did or didn't do it. But I think in, like, you know, Dustin Hoffman's case, or there's some comedians that went down for silly things that I think, you know, put yourself in check. Everybody I've met in life, even the people that, especially the people that claim they're perfect and haven't done anything, have all been promiscuous, have all had various relationships. Some of these people have cheated on somebody. Some of these people have, you know, broken vows. We're fallible people. But if you can learn, and everybody should have the basic right to learn and bounce back from something they may have done wrong, especially if they weren't doing it their entire lives. But at the end of the day, to be dehumanized like these people were in these witch trials, to be told that they're not even human, they don't even deserve to be considered as human, that they can't right their wrongs. I've seen people in public that claim they're like spiritual leaders or leaders of self-improvement, yet they don't allot that privilege to certain people. They decide, I mean, no one can make that decision but God. You have no right to dehumanize another person out of your own insane jealousy. It's wrong. It's just dead wrong. And what I think is going to happen, and again, I see this stuff and I try to use examples from history, is that we're repeating history. We're repeating bad history. There's a lot of good in this world. I think there's a lot of people that know that we're fallible people, that we can make improvements. That's what this journey in life is about. It is about improvement. And if it's about improvement, then you have no right to get in the way of somebody making good on their mistakes. Okay? You have no right to sit and demonize another human being because they may have made a mistake and they want to improve on their life. It's just dead wrong. And I think anybody that demonizes, I mean, literally demonizes, literally tries to tell you they're an android, a clone, or a demon, please take a second thought on what that person is saying. It's just dead wrong. It's unreal. I think we've gotten to a level of absolute mania, and that witch trials could happen again. What happened in Nazi Germany was a great example of the same mania that fueled witch trials. You know, all of these people being murdered and destroyed, lives destroyed, families destroyed, cities destroyed because of the same type of superiority, the same type of mania. I think one of the most important things to keep in mind, number one, is that we're all flawed people. And anyone that claims that they aren't is a hypocrite, a horrible one at that. I would take a look at other people's agendas, you know, so we don't repeat this type of history. I think if maybe you were a fly on the wall for some of these witch trials or what happened in Loudun, it would be quite an awakening, you know, because it's one thing to see in a motion picture or to read about in a book. Another thing would be to be there and to see it, to experience it with all five senses. And it's astonishing how cold some people were way back, you know, centuries ago, 17th century and even before that, that this would be their form of entertainment. It's scary to think that these things happened out of jealousy, that allegedly good people would go to great lengths to hurt another person with statements like this. You know, I think it's okay to turn your back on somebody. It's okay to disagree with things they may have done. I don't think it's okay to ignore facts and situations. I think if you're going to get involved one way or another, you should really be open to an unbiased resource, not just one side of a situation. And because people were only involved in one side of a situation, all these people were murdered and executed. And I think it's very important for us to, whenever you see some kind of groupthink situation, is to back away from it, is to really assess the, if you are going to get involved, is to assess the situation. It's the way we're going to remedy this type of thing. I guess the best thing I can suggest is to be fair, is to keep an open mind. And going forward in this world, we're going to see a lot more of this because I think the powers that be are encouraging this type of behavior. It's just more division. It's more venom that they can utilize to control the masses. So the minds, the governmental minds in places like Loudun and in places like Salem, Massachusetts, still exist today. And they might not be using the church as much, but they still use the same ideology, which is to ostracize, demonize, isolate, and destroy people. And a lot of those people just simply don't deserve it. Some of them do. I mean, I think if you're out there, you know, if you're murdering, if you're raping people, if you're hurting children, of course, you know, put that person in jail. Do what you will with them. But in the case of Grandier or in the case of John Proctor, I mean, these are just flawed men. They didn't deserve what they got. And anyone that believes that, you're sick. You're just a sick person.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Oh, John, give me a soft word.
Abby, I may think of you softly from time to time, but I will cut off my hand before I reach for you again. We never touched.
I know you, John Proctor. You love me. Whatever sin it is, you love me yet.
What some hearts desire, they must possess.
If you cry words against my wife, it will be the end of you.
I am but God's finger, John. If he would condemn Elizabeth, she would be condemned.
Abigail wants me dead, John. You know it.
There is no desire to undermine these investigations.
I come only to save my innocent wife.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm not giving my wife to vengeance!
Winona Ryder.
I never dreamed any of this for you. I wanted you was all.
Paul Scofield.
Now we shall touch the bottom of this swamp.
Joan Allen.
That girl is murder. She must be ripped out of the world.
The Crucible.
This series presents information based in part on theory and conjecture. The producer's purpose is to suggest some possible explanations, but not necessarily the only ones, to the mysteries we will examine.
Okay, so I hear this slogan being thrown around constantly, that all darkness will come to light, especially this year. I've been hearing that a lot. I'm a firm believer that it will. But I think the people that, some of the sinister people that are using that slogan are in for a rude awakening. Because what I do believe is that God does work in mysterious ways and offers a litmus test. So in the case of the Salem witch trials and in the case of what happened in Loudoun, that was a litmus test to see how people would behave. And they are on record throughout history as being insane, that are being led completely by a lie. That's what they'll go down in history as, is that people who helped other people get murdered over a lie, helped their lives get destroyed over a lie, a complete and total maniacal megalomania lie. And what I consider now as darkness coming to light is that the true villains will be revealed. I believe that, and I have faith in that wholeheartedly. You know, anytime that I see a lot of this injustice happening, even today, and again, I'm not talking about the true devils that committed murders and hurt children and all that stuff. They deserve what they get. I'm talking about people who had their lives ruined by mob think and group think mentality, and with a very disingenuous fuel behind it, out of jealousy, rage, and anger. That is a common denominator in a lot of these things, a lot of these cases. And again, in the past, people were murdered for it. So darkness will come to light this year for sure. And it's the inverse of what these people are preaching. What's going to happen is the light's going to be shown on that lie, that very particular lie, that the weakness of your own jealousy is what fueled this whole thing, that you couldn't move on with your life even though you preach it. And you're going to have to answer for that. Especially people that try to publicize themselves as these self-righteous gurus that behind the scenes are really doing some sinister stuff. I believe that's all going to come to light, 100%. And I think it's easy for most people to see when they can see the big picture in things. And, you know, if I was ever in a situation like that, I would certainly make sure that everybody knew the facts. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way people behave. So let's not repeat the Salem witch trials. Let's not repeat what happened in Loudoun, France. Let's try to move forward and evolve. Once again, when you see a mob of people behaving a certain way, please go in the other direction. Observe what they're doing. Assess the situation. Think for yourself. It's a great exercise to think for yourself. If someone is approaching you and trying to get in your ear, you need to understand inherently that is someone trying to get you to do something. And so everything they're going to tell you is going to be a manipulation. Yes, they'll take facts to convince you, but they're mixing lies with the truth. And that is something that happened in each of these cases. So I don't know. This stuff gets me fired up. You know, one day I'll probably write a movie about this type of situation. This type of mania and groupthink is so dangerous. It's so dangerous. You know, lives can be ruined. Lives can be destroyed. People can be killed over things like this. I mean, if you were to dehumanize another human being, you must know that there are some people that are not well out there. And that they might say, well, this is not even a human being. This is a demon, and I must kill the demon. And that's some awful stuff. That's really to provoke that in a very ill, mentally ill society. At least a quarter of our society is not well. It's dangerous stuff. And I think it would certainly, at the very least, inspire a litigious situation where you're putting someone in danger. And you're not only slandering someone, it goes to other levels. And so anyhow, I think everybody should just put their behavior in check. If someone simply isn't chasing you, if someone hasn't spoken to you in a long period of time and you've got an issue with them, let them go. Let them move on. You can't preach self-improvement, and you can't preach that you're a good person, and then demonize a human being so you can try and reduce them to some kind of creature when that is just not sane. And it's not a healthy thing. It's actually very disgusting to try and do to somebody. It's probably the worst thing you could do, probably worse than anything you claim this person did to you. So I would hate to see things like the Salem witch trials be repeated again. And that way of thinking is just disgusting. So it has nothing to do with religion. You know, religion was weaponized in these situations. If I, you know, being a spiritual person myself, I would be extremely offended at these situations. They don't represent the teachings of Christ or anything good at all. You know, it's called toxic faith, actually. Anybody that weaponizes and uses the name of Christ or any other spiritual leader in history or any deity to shill for their own wrongdoings should be held accountable. So that's my opinion on that. I mean, I can give you a history lesson, but I would suggest that you go and find these things for yourself. It's very important. So go and watch, you know, Arthur Miller wrote The Crucible in the 50s. I think you should watch the motion picture with Daniel Day-Lewis. It's a great example. And you could read the play, but honestly, I've read The Crucible. And Miller wrote the screenplay for the motion picture that was made with Daniel Day-Lewis and Winona Ryder. And it's a fantastic movie. I love it. I watch it every year. And I think it's the great example of this type of mania. That The Devils is a movie that caused a lot of controversy. And if you can get your hands on it, I think you should. I think you should watch it. Because it shows yet another example of all of this and teaches you the history. The films made about these accounts, luckily, were extremely well made, extremely intelligent, and are totally worth your time. We must learn from history. We're at a point right now that I feel like we've lost our minds in a lot of cases. Again, it's part of the it's part of the portrayal of who we are right now. And I think if you were to step away from the internet and that mind virus that's being perpetuated everywhere, you would see a very different world. And a lot of it is perspective, but you can't turn a blind eye from what truly is happening. And, you know, I've never once gone online or anywhere else for that matter to turn a mob of people against any human being, even if I felt it was justified. I have not done it. The greatest conquering of someone who either you feel like has done you wrong or is doing you wrong and won't let up is to just live your life, is to improve on your life, be happy, go forward and leave it up to God. That's it. You know, you leave it up to the universe to take care of it. And I think the universe certainly will. There's a pattern in everything. And I think vicious, vile people continue to be who they are. Manipulative people don't let up. They try one way or another to keep doing it. And you can really, if you just stand back and pay attention, you can see that the people who want to move forward in life do just that. And you can't get frustrated that someone decided to do that. And if you're living a lie and you're preaching self-improvement and self-evolution, yet your technique of excluding someone is to dehumanize them, you really need to go back to school. Like, you need to self-examine and really ask yourself, what are you doing? Because it's wrong. It's 100% wrong. And and other people will notice this. All darkness will come to light. So everybody, wow, 2024, there's a lot up ahead. And so much is on the horizon. And I would say, don't let any of this garbage stop you, because it won't. It's junk. It's all in the mind. And it's being induced around the world. This type of division, this mind virus, is being pushed around the world. And I say stay on track. I say continue to do what you're doing. Work hard. If there's these rabid weasels in the shadows trying to get at you one way or another. And what I mean get at you is, like, you might not know these people. You might not have anything to do with them. But it can bait you in. It can bait you in on a topic. You get frustrated. It's very complicated. There are a lot of double and triple crosses happening to manipulate the mind at the moment. And if you're not aware of this kind of thing, you will be susceptible to it. And don't let your own anger and jealousy and rage guide your decision-making. Don't let it make you into a bad person. If you preach good and you preach self-improvement, then you should work on that. You should not live a lie secretly. You know, I practice what I preach. I know the mistakes I've made in the past, and I've worked every day to improve on those things, and I stick to what I say, and I'm doing it. And we should all do the same, because again, we've all made mistakes. And for anyone that claims they haven't, don't believe them, and certainly don't follow anything they say. As we go forward for the rest of 2024, you're going to see the release of A Haunting We Will Go. I'm very happy with it. I've continued to work on it over the last couple of years, and I really wanted to forge to the best of my ability the model for the rest of these going forward. And to create something unique and something that really hasn't been done before, you're starting from scratch. You're starting with a blank page and you don't really have a lot of references. You can't rip off a format. And that's something I refuse to do. So it was really starting from scratch, learning how to make this new show. What do I really want to do with this? Challenging myself at every turn. And I've put, you know, thousands of hours into this thing and a lot of hard work. And I can't wait to share it with all of you. It will be available this Halloween for sure. And I have, you know, plans for its release. And the other thing is a big collaboration with a network. And I can't really say much, but it is a movie. It's a miniseries. It's another dream come true type project that that I really believe in, and that I feel that is going to affect people in a positive way, ultimately. When I was in film school in the 90s, you know, I had a passion for challenging the system. I wanted to, and it wasn't for the sake of being noticed. There wasn't much of an internet presence back then. It was more about doing something. It was more about saying something with your work. It was all of those revolutionary movie makers that inspired me to be a movie maker. You know, when I was a kid, it was adventure films and horror films and a lot of candy, you know, which I still love to this moment. And I'm going to give you candy, but that candy is going to be mixed in with a powerful message. And so I think, you know, as a shorthand, those are the films that I will continue to make. They're going to be very entertaining, but very intelligent, exciting, and have something to say. A lot of the things I'm writing are quite metaphysical, and it's just how I feel about things. I feel like it's hard to define any singular person. Yes, there are people that have made major mistakes that should be locked up for sure. But most of us, you know, are going through this evolution. So any story that I'm writing is about that personal evolution. It's about going through that arc, going through that, you know, that place where, you know, you're hitting this valley and it could be a low, and then you ascend and you learn and you become something new by the end of it. You know, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. I think a lot of that is part of our life. And, you know, you should have this this cosmic romance with your evolution for sure. You know, it's important. You learn so much along the way. You meet so many people along the way, and life can break your heart constantly, and you can break other people's hearts, which in turn can break your own. But you have to keep going, and you have to find a love of something. The hatred is not love. Hatred is not love at all. It's a sick poison. Hate is a poison. And you lose if you succumb to a hatred. If your fuel every day is hate, I promise you it's not going to work out well. Darkness will come to light. And unfortunately, you know, the universe gave you a litmus test, and you will fail miserably if hate is your motivator. Hate is not. Passion is. Determination is. Self-improvement is. Helping the rest of the world is all a motivation. But demonizing other human beings out of hatred is a one-way ticket down. It truly is. So I wish everybody the best. Next week is off completely of the podcast. The following week, we're going to come back with a new show and a new guest. And then the week after that will be an off week. And then we'll come back with a newsletter. And I have to keep this going for a little while. Every now and then I might come in with a surprise special or something like that. But for a little while until The Haunting We Will Go is out of post-production, I'll have to keep it on this schedule. But if you're new to the show and you haven't, you know, I think we have about 100 episodes, including all the newsletters now. Backtrack and listen to them because I've made these episodes not to expire. So go back and listen to some of these episodes. They're not weekly news episodes. And, you know, each of these guests were truly interesting to me. And that's why I picked them. They're not the usual suspects that you see on all these, you know, shows on TV. I think it's going to be the age of enlightenment up ahead. I truly am positive about the future. I believe all darkness will come to light. And I believe that the people that are truly behind the scenes causing trouble will be revealed. The ones that are really the villains will be revealed. I trust in that and I believe in that. And I think you should too. And I think if we all collectively believe that eventually the truth will come out and that we will hit an age of enlightenment, that we'll move forward. And my vision of an age of enlightenment is elaborate, beautiful, detailed. It's an enlightenment of intelligence, of the consciousness, of creativity, a conquering of things that would drag us down and keep us homogenized. You know, I think be careful with a lot of the artificial intelligence programs that people are using and stuff, because I don't think you should be writing your book with AI, or you should be creating too much artwork with it, or, you know, unless it's fully collaborative, unless you're fully in control, I really think you should pull back from it. I thought it was a fantastic novelty when I first tried it. And lately, even the thumbnails for the show, I've been making sure different artwork. Even the Ghosts of Montauk thumbnail, I actually drew myself. You know, I think work against it a little bit because I'm very suspect of the push for it, especially when it comes to writing people's books. I mean, what is the whole... The point of writing a book is so you go through the journey of learning how to write, not that you hit a button and the book writes itself. We've really done something wrong here if that's the case. I think going through that journey is your birthright. Going through the journey of creating things yourself and learning is part of your evolution, is part of something that you need to learn while you go through it. But that is up to you. It is your choice. And I think the most beautiful thing on earth is that you think for yourself. It's the greatest thing I could encourage. So thank you so much for joining me on my rant today. And we will return the week after next with a new guest and a new topic. I wish you all the best, and I'll catch you next time. Take care.